Wonderful.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and we're down one Jay, but the other Jay is here to stay. Mr. Jeff Reed on my right. He's in another seat today if you're watching on the live video stream, whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. He's in another seat today. But we still have Mr. Marty Sparks breaking into hearts all across these United States of America in the screening room today. I just like saying your name, Marty. Thank you all for tuning in to the program today. Man, so much is going on in the world. Nevertheless, we have a rock. Not a pebble, but a rock that is higher than we are, that we can rely on. So grateful to have another day to broadcast. And I guess I should tell you guys this. Before I come on the program, in my office, before I come in the studio even, I pray for the listeners of the program. So I just want you to know that I'm not only doing a show, but I pray for you and all those who the Lord would draw their ears and eyes to the show. I pray for you. So I wanted you to know that, just in case you may not know if anybody else is praying for you. Just know that I'm praying for you. Praise God. And as I usually do, I'm going to do it now because most of you are making your way from your part-time job to your full-time jobs. I just want to remind you that family, serving our families is ministry. It's not the exclusive venue for ministry. I don't want anybody to think, I'm not married yet, or I don't have this, or I'm not going to be married. God has graced some people to live unmarried lives and to dedicate themselves wholly to the Lord's work as an unmarried person. And so I don't want you to think that I'm not aware of that, or do I think that's minimal. The reason why I say what I say about family is because living that life of singleness is a special grace. It's not the product of you not having, it's not lack of options. Let me say it that way. Some people think because they haven't had options, they think, it must be this is what God is saying. Not necessarily. But because this is the position that the majority of us will participate in, and some have participated in, I just want to make sure that we understand family is not merely about personal me for you, you for me, but it's actually a context that God has allowed for us to discharge faithfulness, just like if God has granted the special grace of unmarried life, that is also a context to discharge faithfulness unto the Lord. But nevertheless, having said that, I just want to remind those whom God has called to serve and God has graced to serve in families, to serve him through families, that family is ministry. And we don't want to neglect our families as we endeavor to pursue and serve everything else. And that is my goal, my objective in reminding us of that every day, because I say it all the time, man. If we really want to see the Lord grab a hold of our nation, it has to begin in our families. You know, sometimes we try to fast forward to government. Sometimes we even try to fast forward to church, and we act like family is not the most fundamental building block of a society and even of the church. It starts in the home. And so that is why I offer that consistent encouragement, because we do need to have a godly focus on what he's blessed us with within our own homes. Praise God. Now, having said that, we're going to today, and this is kind of building from yesterday, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. And I refer to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 as the divine prescription for worry. But I want to do a little bit of discussing the context to kind of show why and how this is so applicable in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 2. I'm going to read verses 2 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. This is the epistle penned by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul to the believers in Philippi. Starting at verse 2, I'm going to read it, and this is what it says. I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to to agree in the Lord or be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who've labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness or your moderation be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable or of good report, if there is any excellence or virtue, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Man, the word of God is so rich. And so before we get to the prescription for worry in verse 6, about do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Isn't it amazing that the Apostle Paul actually provides the prescription for worry within the context of settling a beef between believers in the body of Christ? Remember, verse 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord, be of the same mind in the Lord. The thing that, or let me say it this way, the prescription for worry was provided within the context of Euodia and Syntyche having some type of contention going on. These are two women who are members of the body of Christ, you know, who serve the Lord, who have received the gospel, who convey the gospel, but they're having problems with one another. So much so where news of the difficulty got back to Apostle Paul. And he appeals to them, really, referring to something he enunciates in chapter 2, verse 2, being of the same mind, agreeing together. And then he fast forwards and says, you know, one of the main reasons or the main mechanisms for letting your reasonableness to be made known to everyone is not allowing anxiety to grasp you. Now, I know we live in this time, and my minor is psychology, so I am not going to minimize the significance of mental health difficulties. But can I tell you something? It seems that as society has progressed, as an atheistic worldview seemed to take root more and more and more in our society, there's been an increase in our reliance on pharmakeia. Pharmakeia is the Greek word where we get our English word pharmacy from. But can I tell you how pharmakeia was transliterated into the Bible? As sorcery. Isn't it interesting that as there has been an ascendancy in an atheistic worldview, that has grown right alongside an increased conversation of people willingly expressing that they are riddled with anxiety. Oh, I have anxiety over this. I have anxiety over that. To the degree to where some who are mental health professionals and even some within the church have looked at the church with derision for saying we have not made enough room for mental health conversations within the church. And I say, I understand what you're saying somewhat, but can I tell you something? I think we have not made enough room for responding to anxiety with, but in everything by prayer and supplication. See, I have a sneaky suspicion, that's grounded in the scripture, by the way, that this uptick in the willingness to discuss anxiety has followed with an uptick in prayerlessness within our country. And one of the major features that the Apostle Paul enunciates for us or describes for us is that it's not only prayer, but it's a combination of offering prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I was having a conversation with a coworker, maybe yesterday, maybe it was, and we were having a conversation about how do you navigate the scenario where, you know, you have desires and you know they're godly desires, but you also know that the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, that sometimes these desires we have, they cut against an ability to remain content. And I said, there's nothing wrong with having godly desires. There's nothing wrong with having godly ambitions. But the thing is, we have to make sure these desires and ambitions don't have us to the degree that we cannot engage in the simultaneous supplications to the Lord with thanksgiving. I believe with everything in me that if we would refocus ourselves to where we become those who live a lifestyle of prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, I think we would see this critical mass of self-professed anxiety diminish. I think we'll see this critical mass of what's commonly described as depression diminish. It's hard to remain embroiled in these things in a depressed condition perpetually, in an anxiety-riddled condition perpetually, while being thankful at the exact same time. It's very difficult to do that. And the scripture tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That means that as we consider all of these anxiety-inducing issues, we must confront them and combat them with prayer and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving. And the results, the Bible says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, the peace of God, which transcends your natural capacity for comprehension, the peace of God, which exceeds the DSM-4, the DSM-5, which exceeds the psychiatrist and the psychologist, will, as the scripture says, be a guard, a garrison around your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It is as if the Lord literally dispatches a battalion of warring angels around your heart and your mind to where you won't be consumed by the incessant scrolling, looking at every Tom, Dick, Harry, Larry, Joe, Mo, Mary, Sari, and Sally and saying, oh, look at their lives, but my lives don't measure up. But you recognize, man, in Christ, you have achieved the greatest. You have received the greatest in Christ. Your self-esteem, your validation is founded in him. But I understand it. Prayer has become passe for too many of us. That's kind of old school. You know, that's what the seasoned saints used to do. But for us, we're going to scroll, get our pharmakeia, and listen to people like Steve Harvey or Dr. Phil or some of these other folks. And again, I'm not endeavoring to minimize the significance of mental health. What I'm saying, I think we need to revisit the foundations that the Lord has provided for us in his word. And then the Apostle Paul comes back around and says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, hold it right there. A lot of this anxiety would be solved if we spend more time evaluating what is true. I've said before and I'll say it again. Social media is not the truth. It's not reality. It's advertisement. I always use the analogy, you know, you see the fast food commercials and man, you see those burgers glistening with that shiny, freshly washed lettuce, tomatoes stacked up perfectly, the cheese melted just right. And you know, you have never seen a burger from those fast food restaurants that look like that because it's advertising. Social media is advertising, folks. I posted a couple weeks ago, Facebook courage is whack. No, keyboard courage is whack. Because you have people that say things behind the anonymity and the distance of a keyboard they would never say in person. That's a dead giveaway that this digital space is called digital for a reason. It's not reality. But from too many of us, we have allowed keyboard warriorhood to provoke anxiety in us. And we look at these people, you know, these, what do they call them? Social media influencers or whatever. I don't know what to call them. And you try to measure yourself compared to an advertisement. Man, that's not reality. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, and if there is any excellence, if anything praiseworthy, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
vetoing innocent life. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Democratic governors in Wisconsin and North Carolina recently used their veto powers for evil. In both states, the governors blocked legislation that would protect babies born alive after botched abortions. It is unbelievable that anyone would want to leave a helpless baby to die after it is born alive. This shouldn't be an issue that depends on someone's political leaning. This is an issue of compassion and humanity. In February, President Trump invited an abortion survivor to visit the White House. Melissa Oden lived through a botched abortion and has gone on to inspire thousands. Precious babies like Melissa are made in God's image, and they deserve to live. Governors Roy Cooper and Tony Evers made a disgraceful decision to block such important, life-saving legislation. Stay informed on the sanctity of precious lives. Visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Have you ever visited a royal palace? Everything is perfectly kept. Each room is decorated with exquisite art and costly furniture. The floors sparkle. It takes a team of people working full time to keep everything just right for the royal family. That's because royalty doesn't live in rundown shacks. They live in palaces. God, the King of the universe, has chosen you as his dwelling place. Think about it. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. Your body is holy. Do you treat it that way? Is everything in order for the King? Have you abused the palace of God with impure thoughts or by dulling your senses with drugs and alcohol or other ways that don't honor God? As a follower of Jesus, you take God's Spirit with you everywhere. Don't think less of your body than God does.
To learn more about Real Answers, check out Steve's website, www.realanswers.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Evolutionists believe that time plus chance explains everything. Give monkeys banging away on typewriters enough time, they'll produce the works of Shakespeare. Well, students from Plymouth University in England put the idea to the test. They put a computer in the monkey enclosure and waited. Pretty soon, one monkey started bashing the computer with a rock, after which others defecated and urinated all over the keyboard. What they did not produce was the complete works of Shakespeare. After 1 month, they produced 5 pages of text, consisting almost entirely of the letter S, and did not produce even one single solitary word, let alone a complete sentence or even a phrase. For a rational explanation of the origin of everything, I think I'll stick with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. You may have heard by now, but just in case you haven't, on Tuesday, there was another shooting at a school. This school, this time it was at the STEM school in Highland Ranch, Colorado. And from all of the reports, there were two alleged shooters, one an 18-year-old and one a juvenile, less than 18 years old. The juvenile shooter's name has not been released publicly. Y'all know how I get down. I'm not going to say the shooter's names anyway. But from all of the reports, one student in particular, who was the lone fatality in this shooting, there were 8 other students who were injured, but one student who was the lone fatality in this instance, his name is Kendrick Castillo. He's an 18-year-old senior who's a member of the Robotics Club at the STEM school in Highland Ranch, Colorado. According to all reports, when the shooter, who was ultimately apprehended, thanks to his sacrificial and heroic action, when the shooter made entree into the particular locale, Kendrick Castillo lunged at him and tackled him. And in the course of him apprehending the shooter, he ends up sustaining gunfire himself. But his actions allowed the remainder of the students in the room where they were to get out of there. And his actions spared the lives of the other students in the area. The Douglas County Sheriff confirmed that Castillo was the only shooter. And his father, John Castillo, upon learning of his son's actions, he had this to say, quote, "It doesn't surprise me. He cared enough about people that he would do something like that, even though it's against my better judgment. I wish he had gone and hid, but that's not his character. His character is about protecting people and helping people. I had a hard time accepting that." Isn't that amazing? End quote. The father, John Castillo, knew. And students said as early as eighth grade, Kendrick Castillo's care for other people was evident. This is not something that's new for him. This is something that has been a part of his character since he was a little boy. Confirmed by his classmates, confirmed by his parents. Kendrick Castillo was the only son of John Castillo and his wife. And Kendrick Castillo's brave and heroic actions allowed for another student, another 18-year-old by the name of Brendan Biley, who followed Castillo's actions, and they together were able to hold the shooter down until the police officers arrived. So he was able to be arrested right there on the scene. And this Brendan Biley, he's an 18-year-old, the Marine Corps, the U.S. Marine Corps has confirmed that he is currently a poolee. Now, what a poolee is, that is a term that designates someone who has signed up for the Marines but has not yet entered the Corps. And the U.S. Marine Corps said, quote, "Brendan's courage and commitment to swiftly ending this tragic incident at the risk of his own safety is admirable and inspiring. His decisive actions resulted in the safety and protection of his teachers and fellow classmates." Brendan Biley is scheduled to report for training in the Marine Corps this summer. Man. What an amazing, amazing phenomenon. And my heart breaks for the Castillo family having lost their only son who died as a hero. Now, following this, this is amazing to me. Well, first let me say that the shooter who was apprehended as a result of Kendrick Castillo's quick and decisive actions and Brendan Biley's quick, decisive actions. The shooter appeared in court this morning for a court appearance. And the juvenile shooter, because he's a juvenile, his name hadn't been shared publicly. But he, too, has been apprehended. But his information has not been discussed as much publicly because he is a juvenile. Now, following this, and this is just mind-blowing. An organization called the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence organized a vigil that was initially presented as a celebration of Kendrick Castillo's life. And this all they had the vigil at the school in the gymnasium. Yet they allowed two politicians, one is Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, who's running for president, and you know, I don't know who that is. I don't know how many people watch the NBA playoffs, you know, when Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, and Kenny Smith, they're watching the playoffs, and then when you have players who are not that well known, one of them say, who he played for? I don't know who this guy is, Senator Michael Bennett. Like, when did he slip in the presidential race? Who he played for? I don't know this guy, but apparently, these guys, and this is galling to me on so many levels, but these guys took the occasion of what was supposed to be a celebration of Kendrick Castillo's life and his heroic actions. They turned into a campaign stump and an effort to push, y'all know what it is, you don't even have to wait for it, the predictable plea for gun control. But unlike other situations where children are used as props for political narratives, these STEM school in the Highlands, Colorado, they weren't having it. Listen to this report from the Denver area.
Clip number two.
Young survivors of the STEM school shooting stormed out of a community gathering tonight, saying politicians were politicizing their grief.
This event was organized by gun control advocates, and it featured Democratic Senator Michael Bennett and Congressman Jason Crow. The students wanted to speak themselves, and they wanted to honor Kendrick Castillo, their classmate who died while confronting the shooter.
This was a really tough night. This started like a lot of other vigils do, unfortunately, but it started with people speaking, students. It started with people singing, and then that is when it turned to a different direction. We heard some of these politicians speaking. STEM students started yelling from the stands, "We want to speak. We want to be heard. We are here for a reason." And then they stormed out. They were very upset that they didn't have that opportunity. A lot of them stormed out in protest. They made it clear they wanted to be heard, and then they did come back in. Here's what they had to say next.
What has happened at STEM is awful, but it's not a statistic. We can't be used for a reason for gun control. We are a people, not a statement.
This was not a vigil. This was purely a political stunt. This is not what we wanted for Kendrick. We didn't want Kendrick to be a prop. We wanted Kendrick to be mourned. We wanted all of you to join us in that mourning, but that was not allowed here. We all walked out. We were not kicked out, despite what you have heard. And we're back now to tell you that we love Kendrick, and we love all of the survivors.
I came here for my close friend Kendrick. I just wanted to talk about him a little bit, because everybody's been sitting here talking about gun violence and avoiding the fact that he died.
Isn't that amazing? Everybody's talking about gun violence, but avoiding the fact that he died. If that is not a powerful appeal to recalibrate ourselves concerning humanity, I don't know what is, man. I mean, you can't wait a couple days. I mean, we all know, the regressives among us don't like citizens having guns. We all know that there are some, they won't admit it this way, but I'm just going to, I'll keep it real. That's why y'all listen to the show. We all know that the very same people who would decry, the dictatorial penchants of Donald Trump are the same ones who are saying that the government should be the only one with guns. And why is that? Because they don't want to admit it like this, but they kind of like Stalin's Russia. They kind of like Lenin a little bit. They kind of like that. They dig that. And they dig the government having all the guns. That way, if they ever get their way establishing socialism in America, the citizens can't fight back. They dig that. Yet these kids, they weren't having it. They weren't having it. And I know I kind of went on yesterday about education in our country, but all of these people want to talk about gun violence, but we don't want to have a conversation about what is contributing to young people in our country having no problem with killing other people. I mean, so we're going to just act like we haven't had, 60, 70, 80 years of being taught that there is nothing interesting nor sacred about human life. I mean, if you tell a child for years on end that we are just the cosmic consequences of stardust, amoeba turned fish turned monkey turned man, and that there is nothing unique nor there's no sanctity to human life, if you can kill a child for convenience in the womb, why can't you do it in the classroom? I mean, are we gonna ever have a conversation about the inconsistency of this logic? Where you have people like Kamala Harris and all, when you have the arguments on the border talking about if we don't protect our children, what kind of country are we? And I'm saying, excuse me, Pot. Excuse me, Pot. If we cannot wrap our minds around the idea, if you're telling the young people in our country that you have a constitutional right to mount a national political party's platform and shout about your ability to kill a child because you want to. You understand what I'm saying to you? To kill a child because you want to in the womb, then why are you concerned when there are children being killed in the classrooms? I mean, how long are we going to sidestep these conversations? What are we? Just random features of cosmic chance? Or is there something inherent and valuable about life? Because we can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. And the fact that these politicians, they don't care nothing about these children because they won't even stop for 1 second and talk about the heroic actions of this man, of this young man, who sacrificed his life to protect his teachers and his classmates, and you want to talk about gun control. It's frankly disgusting. These are the same people that want to say, we are the compassionate ones. We care about the poor. We care about those who are downtrodden. Really? But you're the same ones who are saying that if a child is born into a poor environment, kill him. Do I need to remind you about the Georgia State Legislature? Kill him now, kill him later. Man, y'all got to pick. You got to pick. We have lost any semblance of humanity because, you know, that's too pretty. You know, that's too sanitized. We've lost any semblance of humanity. Well, why have we lost any semblance of humanity? Let's get down to the core. Why is human life valuable? You know, I got the hashtag number 6 AFA wristband on right now. Why do we not murder? Let's get down to the core of the issue. The reason why life is valuable, because he made them both male and female. In his image, he made them. Let's get down to it. If you continually overdose our children on a diet where they're developing intellectual capacity that systematically denies the knowledge of God, how can they have any value for human life? We got to pick, folks. And these politicians, they're not leaders. That's why they call public servants. They are supposed to reflect the views of the people. While I'm at it, I didn't plan to go on that long on that. I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but did you know ICE is reporting that they are releasing 1,000 illegal immigrant family members per day in border towns in the country? Not per week, per day. Overwhelming these smaller towns in Texas, overwhelming these smaller towns, 1,000 per day. How can these towns survive with that kind of stuff going on? Per day. And this is a report that was released back in March. Some cities are getting up to 2,000. We better wake up, folks. We better wake up. These people are intentionally doing this. I've shared before. This is nothing more than a Cloward Piven strategy being implemented on the border. Do you remember when I said that when it first started happening? That's exactly what this is. This is an effort to overwhelm our system, to compel a capitulation to embrace other things. I mean, it's not by chance that you have, you know, Joe Biden, you know, the same Joe Biden who said until Barack Obama was the first clean and articulate person with darker skin he ever met in his life. What? And so that's cool. Clean and articulate. Well, he said that the United States of America has a responsibility to providing federal benefits to illegal aliens. Wow. And you want to be president? Man, and I'm laughing. You guys are listening to me, but I'm not laughing like in jest. I'm laughing to keep from crying. That's what this is. Because this is, and we can, there's some people who think, oh, these guys don't know what they're doing. No, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they are doing. This is simply the latest iteration of the same strategy that they've been seeking to implement 150 years. They keep changing their description from progressive, you know, to liberal, back to progressive, because they think the American populace are full of people who are ignorant. As if we don't know what they're doing. And now, in spite of the last 10 years trying to say, we're not socialists, and now all of a sudden they arrive and saying that they're socialists. Yeah, so what? And they think, what's wrong? Why are you so afraid of a label? Like, fool, like we don't know what that means. Like, we don't know that the bloodiest 20th century was all perpetrated by self-described socialists. I've said before, the United Soviet Socialist Republic of Russia. I said it before, the German National Socialist Workers' Party. And in Venezuela, Maduro, Hugo Chavez, socialists, killers.
Our Holy Land tour for March of 2020 is set. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Last year, we sold out in August, and I expect us to do that again this year. There is such a high demand, especially among Christians in America, to see Israel, the land of the Bible. So we're going again in March on our annual trek. So I wanted to go ahead and let you know, if you want to sign up and register, get more information, whatever the case may be, if you want to go to our website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com, everything is there, twholyland.com. You can even print off a brochure from that website. It's going to be a wonderful time visiting Israel with brothers and sisters from across our country as we go to the Holy Land in March. So go ahead and get signed up now, twholyland.com.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's word and how he speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A charter school wants to liberate 5-year-olds, and that story coming up. Central Park School for Children in North Carolina is hosting a week-long celebration of gay pride. The charter school is hosting a Pride and Liberation event for boys and girls in grades K through 8. Now, it's not exactly clear what the children are being liberated from, but one thing is very clear. For an entire week, the children will be learning all about the LGBTQ movement, from drag queens to something called queer history. The drag queen known as Justin Clapp is an advocate for something called anti-transphobia, and he says anyone who feels uncomfortable around a drag queen is a bigot. Now, this is an example of radical indoctrination. Children should be learning how to read and write and multiply and divide, but instead they're being subjected to ideas and concepts they are far too young to understand. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment. And what I'd like to discuss, two primary issues. The first one, what is your response to these students who boldly and courageously declared, "We're people, not a statement." You know, you're using the death of Kendrick Castillo to advance your gun control position, but we're people, not a statement. I found that to be a very poignant moment, and I think it's a moment that should provoke. Now, whether or not this happens or not, I don't know. Well, I can tell you what I think, but whether that should provoke a consideration as to whether or not we have devolved to such a place societally that we are all too willing to just speed right past humanity in an effort to make political points and to make statements in ignoring the people. I want to talk about that. And secondarily, I want to talk about this issue of 1,000 illegal immigrants being released into American border towns per day. And just to provide a little more meat on that, on the bones of this particular story, what's happening is that the existing facilities that are available, they've been overwhelmed. You know, 50,000 people in January, another 50 in February. March got up to 100,000, almost 100,000 in March alone. And in April, obviously, not obviously, we don't have all of the numbers yet in April, but April was another ascendant month. And what's happening, these people are being dropped off off buses, and just the city's left to fend for themselves. And it's amazing that they're going to smaller towns. Now, you take a town of 15,000 people, in 2 weeks, they've doubled the population. In 2 weeks. And it's got to make you wonder, if they're going to release the people in America, why aren't they sending them to these so-called sanctuary cities, in sanctuary states? Kind of got to make you wonder, huh? And the Ninth Circuit had a ruling, and I'm glad Jeff brought this up during the break. The Ninth Circuit, amazingly, had a ruling this week that said the Trump administration was right in that asylum seekers from Mexico can be sent back to Mexico while their asylum claims are vetted. Which is a good ruling. It's a lawful ruling, a constitutional ruling. The only problem with that is that an overwhelming contingent of illegal aliens who are advancing asylum claims, because that's the buzzwords that they use, they're not from Mexico. See, we have there are laws, reciprocal agreements with Mexico and Canada, because those two nations are contiguous to the United States of America, that if we have illegal aliens that enter our country from those nations, they are immediately sent back. Just as if you have American illegal aliens who enter Canada or Mexico, they would be immediately returned to the U.S. Although I don't think you have very many Americans entering Mexico or Canada illegally, but that's a side note. The issue is that you have people coming from beyond Mexico that are coming into the country, and those are the people that are being released into the United States of America, and those who, and many of them, are not related to children that they're traveling with, but that is what has been learned, the way that you get a get-released in America free card, so to speak. And guess what? It's working. The not-so-secret secret is that illegal entrants have surged under President Trump. These are just the facts. So I want to get your take on that. Your response to the students in Colorado walking out and then coming in, making the statements that they made. And I'd like to get your response on the 1,000 per day being released into the country when you call. If you'd like to join the program, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That number once again is 888-589-8840 if you would like to join the program. Now I have, I want to start with this one, and this may be the only one to get to. I have some good news to share. I've covered on this program, and I want to make sure I followed up with it. And because of the back and forth with this particular story, I wanted to make sure I was clear before I came on again. But Asiya Bibi, if you remember, the Pakistani woman who converted to Christianity, who offered co-workers of hers a cup of water in Jesus' name, was arrested, tried, and convicted under Islamic blasphemy laws in Pakistan, sentenced to death. Spent 10 years in jail on death row, ultimately was exonerated on appeal and set to be released. Then Muslims threatened the judges and the courts and even her attorneys. And the court said, now you have to stay in prison. I mean, the entire debacle. Well, now Asiya Bibi has finally been released and has joined her family in Canada. Listen to this report on Asiya Bibi, clip 5.
Blasphemy accusations are taken quite seriously here in Pakistan. You are liable to be killed if you are accused of blasphemy. And so the fact that Asiya, not only Asiya, was obviously under this threat, she was obviously, you know, handed a death sentence by the courts before she was acquitted. Her family too has been living under this shadow of fear. Her extended family, her two daughters, her husband. Now, her lawyer did tell me that her husband did accompany Asiya to Canada. We're not too sure. We haven't been able to confirm independently where her daughters are, but there is an understanding that they too are in Canada. There were lots of precautions taken before we could even report this information, because there were massive riots across the country, causing her to stay within Pakistan, causing the Pakistani government to reach an understanding with Tehreek-e-Labbaik Pakistan. Now, you know, during that time, she was moved from one safe house to the next. So it has taken a while for these confirmations to come through. And now we know for a fact that Asia, her husband, are now in Canada and have been in Canada for more than 24 hours.
And that is great news, folks. That is great news. Pastor Carl on the Facebook feed made a great point that I want to mention as well, that when we're having a conversation about illegal aliens claiming asylum, being released in America, that they're not all from South America and Central America either. I've shared reports from this. The Border Patrol has reported. You have people coming from the Middle East, from Muslim majority nations, from China, you know, from the stans, Kazakhstan, and all of those stans. I mean, this is ludicrous. I mean, and you know, and I won't belabor this point because I'm going to get to the phone lines. But you know that there's something wrong when this issue used to be a bipartisan issue. You can search the tapes. You can find YouTube videos of all kind of people who are in the Democrat Party and the Republican Party talking about what a problem illegal immigration is to America. It's only in recent years that it's become a partisan conversation. And to be frank, it is because the Democrat Party, by and large, has become a coastal archipelago party as opposed to a national party. And they're so focused on political gains that they really are willing to sacrifice the longevity of the country in order to accomplish their objectives. But to the phone lines we go, as promised. We'll start in Oklahoma, where William is on the line. William, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, sir. I just think it's a sad commentary when people are so unfeeling that they try to make something political about Charles' death. Those people there into that time period, they're still in shock.
Yeah.
And they're still in disbelief, and it's hard to think, you know, when you go in a classroom and the person that you knew and loved is not there in that same space anymore. And so this is they did... They represented, these young men represented everything that is good in America, everything that is good in being a man, being courageous, and being taking action, not what they trying to feminize our manhood. They show what it used to be, America, you know, make America great again. Mm. I think that's what they stood for.
Mm. William, great call. You made some great, great points. The first point that you made about the students being in shock, I know this is radio, so you couldn't see the video, but if you saw the video of this, you had all kinds of children bawling in tears, you know, and the politicians standing up there at the dais giving their cold, pre-written speeches while you have students doubled over, you know, in tears, which would depicted the type of shock that you're talking about. And secondarily, your point about Kendrick Castillo representing masculinity, the types of masculinity that we need. You know, why this whole idea of the effeminization of men. And man, and this started years ago. You know, it's kind of, people laugh a little bit about it, but that's why I'm so serious about not wearing skinny pants, man. They are effeminizing men, where men are learning or starting to scourge the privilege of serving as a protector and a provider for a family. You have young males who are saying things like they want a sugar mama and things of these natures that are completely turning masculinity on its head. You know, and this young man, I mean, can you imagine what type of person it takes to run towards gunfire? You know, and we say it often in terms of our first responders and our police officers, but think, this is an 18-year-old senior who was 3 days away from graduating from high school. You know, you find a nation that is overrun by feminized men, and that is a nation that is ripe for the plucking. Back to the phone lines. We go next to Alabama, where Kelly is on the line. Kelly, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. My husband is retired military, and I don't understand why we can't protect our borders.
Huh.
Why can't we? Why? I know this. I'm a Christian, and I know this sounds evil, and I don't mean it to, but why can't we look Israel? We throw flyers over and say, hey, look, you got 5 days. Don't be crossing these borders. We're going to use military force.
Kelly, listen, your question is a question that many Americans have, and I'm just going to tell you plainly, it's not a matter of can't, it's a matter of won't. See, it's not that we can't protect our border. We won't protect our border. You know, a lot of people forget about earlier on in the conversations debating the funding for the wall and all of this stuff, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats offered $30 billion. That is an indication that they know we have the money, we can do it. And then they later on say, no, we don't want to do it anymore. It's not an issue of can't, it's an issue of won't. It's an issue of won't. And when you get right down to it, we have some who are in our country, they are in our government, and they have made the political calculation that they are willing to subjugate American national sovereignty in order to achieve their political objectives. And that people might not want to hear that, but that's the reality of what's happening. Back to the phone lines. We go next to the great state of Texas, where Gary is on the line. Gary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Your show is such a blessing. I'm going to get the podcast from our wife here, your last two shows. She's suffering from terminal cancer, and she could use that hope. But about the illegals coming across, why isn't our default position, unless you can prove you're from Honduras, then you must be from Mexico, and we return you to Mexico?
Great, great point, Gary. Great point, great idea. Again, what you are highlighting is a lack of the political will to do what we know we can do, but we just have refused to do so. There's nothing that prohibits us from doing that, but we have those who just won't do it, you know, and I think in some ways, you know, President Trump has taken incoming from all sides. But in some ways, you know, as a human being, you get tired of being treated as if you are the boogeyman, you know. And I think in some ways there's been a little bit of weariness on that front with the president. But we have to have somewhere some people. And I think if the people demanded more so, those who would demand a response to these issues. We'll go back to Tennessee now. No, I mean, we'll go to Tennessee next, where Vaughn is on the line. Vaughn, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
I am honored that I am on the program. I really am. Thank you so very much. You're one of my favorite people in the world.
Oh, Vaughn, I'm honored to have you on the program. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, these kids did not want and did not think in their minds whatsoever that they're making any kind of a statement politically. Mm-hmm. But I hope those kids had a red pill moment right there. I hope they understand from now on who it is that wants to manipulate them, wants to control them. These folks that are fascinated with dictators. I mean, who speaks at colleges?
Mm.
Always.
Mm.
Stalin, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Hitler, all these folks. And these people are fascinated.
Yeah,
Che
Guevara.
They call these dictators. Yeah, they call them. They're great philosophers. All there is. Enlightened as Socrates. You have to go back years and years ago when they did that with Stalin.
Mm.
So these are the folks that want control. Now, we always talk about these socialist regimes and how they only produce coffins because they kill people. Well, how do you legally kill folks? You have to control the military.
That's right. That's right. Vaughn, thank you very much for your call and your comments. Try to squeeze one more in. Daniel from Texas, you have 15 seconds. Go.
I just want to commend the two gentlemen that stood up and demonstrated godly manhood and protected others.
Amen,
that
Daniel.
That is what this country needs more.
Amen. Thank you very much for that. And before we end the program, Lord, I just want to lift up Gary's wife to you, who is suffering from terminal cancer. God, I ask that you would be a comfort to her, that you would empower Gary by your spirit to serve her and serve her well, to minister to her. And Lord, I pray that your word would be an encouragement to her, that would give strength to her, Lord, that will be like marrow to her bones and strength to her flesh. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Folks, thank you for listening to the program today. And if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, do not harden your hearts when he calls, because today is the day of salvation. God bless you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.